Morning and greetings in Christ's precious name. This, as I was coming to church, I guess, this morning, I was just inspired, I guess, a beautiful day and spring, and I just was thinking to myself, I guess, we didn't talk about it, but I just thought it's just a blessing to be able to come to church and worship with brethren and sisters that like mind, like faith, and that you feel safe with. That's a blessing. This morning I want to share a message that I was thinking about just this week. I had some things going on in my life and just everyday life, even work and whatnot. And someone sent me a message and it was titled this. I'm borrowing that title that they used. And we'll read the verses too so you understand why. And then see what we can learn from it. It challenged me and it also inspired me. And it's taken out of Mark chapter 14, starting at verse 3. And I want to read those verses quickly. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. We're kind of jumping in right here, but we want to read this little story. It says, "And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor, and they murmured against her." Verse 6, this Jesus talked now, and Jesus said, "Let her alone, why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burning." I'm going to stop there. I want to title my message, "She Hath Done What She Could." And that probably sounds like a strange message. I don't know. Strange title anyway. But I want to, I guess it inspired me, and I just want to leave it for each one. Because, you know, sometimes in life we get feeling like I'm not doing enough. Or maybe I feel like you're just tired, maybe. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you feel like, well, there's lots of things. And, you know, what did Jesus mean with these words? You know, we can use that in the negative sense, you know. For example, if I would build a shop, and as you go past, you would probably see it. It would be, I'm not a builder. It would be crooked. It would look ugly. And you say, well, he did what he could, you know? It's just the negative sense. We realize that I did not do a good job there. But on the other hand, maybe, I'm sorry, I'm trying to use my own self as examples here, and I didn't write any examples down. I'm just thinking, but if all of my calves died, you would go by and you would see that and you would say, oh, I'm sure he did what he could. Because you know I love cattle and I would have done everything I could to prevent that. That's the positive way to say that. I believe Jesus used this in a positive way. He was not degrading this woman. He wasn't saying, well, because she's from that family, that's all she could do. But I believe Jesus said this implying there was still a need, though. Jesus was going to be, if we would read, you know, Jesus was going to be crucified shortly. And it is only in the Bible times, that is how they would have, you know, after he was crucified and to be buried, they would have anointed him with these ointments. But Jesus recognized she wanted to come do it while he was living. And, you know, of course there was the naysayers. They said, well, why didn't she sell that and give the money to the poor? They didn't care about the poor. They were more bothered by what she had spent on Christ. And Christ saw their hearts, and he spoke to that need there. And I believe Jesus saw under her heart. He said, there is a need there. There is more that she needs to do. The point I'm trying to bring out, I guess, in trying to describe this, is sometimes when we recognize our abilities, we recognize our limitations. We all have abilities and we all have limitations. If I tell my wife the cows were in the garden, but I did what I could, she's going to understand that I got them out, I tried to deal with it, but she probably has a mess in her garden. Maybe this morning you feel overwhelmed. Maybe this morning, you know, in our homes, in our marriages, in our raising our children, on the job site sometimes, am I doing everything I could? Maybe you have a big mountain ahead of you. As you look at the needs around you, it comes as a question sometimes. Am I doing what I can? There's a lot of war in this country. There's a lot of people hurting. There's millions of people today that are without a home. There's millions without food. And it may be billions. I'm not sure. But the number is large. We were talking about in Sunday school, we live in a land of plenty, and we do. We don't know what it's like. But so my parents worked with those in Bangladesh daily, just living, working hard to try to have enough for a meal that night. There's millions of refugees. There's millions rebuilding after a war. There are billions with no hope this morning without God. But even worse than that, I believe there are millions anyhow that have a false hope. You think about that. The question comes out, am I doing what I can? Or when I lay my head down at night, can I say, I did what I could? That challenged me, I guess. And as I, you know, sometimes we are exhausted physically, mentally. Jesus didn't hold this woman accountable for what she couldn't do. He blessed her for what she did. Sometimes I feel we need to step back. We need to step back and look and realize it's not up to me. God works through me, yes. But God is working. Sometimes it doesn't lull us to sleep at night to say that. Sometimes it pricks our conscience, and that is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. Did I do all that I could do? Maybe that question will spur us on. What more can I do for the church, for my family, for my marriage, for my children, for the brotherhood, for the lost? I don't have a long sermon this morning, and maybe you think I'm making too much of that one sentence, but I want to go look at some other chapters and think about this. She did what she could do. That's Christ's words. Mark 12, let's turn there. Very simple story, starting at verse 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto him, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. To me, that's just a beautiful story to represent what I've been thinking about, I guess, is, you know, you see all the, I don't know how it was quite, but obviously you could sit and watch people tithing. And as Christ and his disciples are sitting there, you know, you see these men that come by. Men, I take it as men, but anyhow, wealthy people. And they're dropping their tithing. And then they were rightly so, according to the Old Testament. But they were doing it, Christ obviously made it clear, they were doing it so others would see them. And he calls attention to this woman, and she's that in verse, let's just read that verse 42 again. There came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And then Jesus says in verse 44, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had. Who gave more? If you look at the amounts, yes, the rich gave more. But I believe Christ can make those two farthings go a lot further from that widow than all the wealth combined from everyone else. She did what she could. You think about that. That woman could have went and said, I'll only put one in today because I have to buy a loaf of bread. I need to survive. And I believe it goes way deeper than money today. My time, am I willing to give them my time? Am I willing to sacrifice maybe my dreams, my goals, my whatever, to help the lost? She did what she could. Jesus realized, he saw her heart, and he knew that she was willing to give everything. She had nothing more to give. Matthew 25 now. I want to start reading at verse 14. For the kingdom, and this is the parable of the talents, common one again, but let's read this. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same, made them other five. Likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received five talents came, brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five. Behold, I have gained besides them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he that which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. A couple things, points I want to look at here. Christ brought out, he gave according to their ability. The days when I'm feeling like I've stretched as far as I can, realize God gives to your ability. And which one do you want to be like? You know, some of us don't have many talents, others have many. But can I take what God gives me and bless him? Look how God, they dealt with the one that took one and hid it. That's the first point. He gave as their ability. Another point, he gave one 5, he gave one 2, and he praised them both. He never said, well, because you have 5, you should have got 12 more. He blessed him for getting 5 more. The one that got 2, it wasn't that he said, you should have made a little bit better than that. He blessed them both. They did something with themselves. They were positive. He didn't try to, you know, figure out even what they did. They came back and said, here's yours, doubled. But he condemned the one that only had one, not because he only had one, but because he didn't use it. And that really spoke to me as I go through life, you know, am I using what God gives me? And whether it's my time, my talents, my money, my whatever, it may not be much, but am I at least doing what I can with what I have? I believe someday we will stand before God as our judge. And he's going to ask me what I did. And I won't be able to answer, well, I did what I could. He will see if I did what I could. I want to move on now, and just probably in your mind, the question is there, at least for me, how do I know when I've done what I could? You know, I can't. When something comes my way to say I can't, I believe I can't is an excuse. Maybe I'm lazy. Maybe I'm just unwilling to be put out front. Maybe will I get embarrassed? Whatever it is. On the flip side of that, I can, on my own will, can be a trap. It can be pride in my life. There needs to be a balance. I need to recognize that if God brings it into my life, I can't is an excuse. But I also need to recognize I have limitations. I can is only with Christ. There needs to be a balance. We each need to be humble. We need to be honest with our abilities. Not all of us are good at building shops or pouring concrete or feeding calves, whatever it is. God calls us. He uses us where he wants us. I believe we need to be willing to allow God to stretch us beyond our abilities. And the reason I say that is I believe so his grace can be demonstrated through his people. As I see brethren and sisters serving, working hard in the church and doing things, it blesses me because I see that they're allowing themselves to be used. Maybe if we go to Romans 12, I'm not going to spend a lot of time. Probably I should just let Younes go home and read Romans 12 and ask that question as you read it. Well, there is just so much teaching in Romans 12 on this subject. Verse 1 there. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What more can I do with my life then give it to Christ for what he did for me? And there's so much teaching. We're not going to read through it. I want to jump. There's a couple verses I wanted to maybe especially pick out, but let's just start reading at verse 9. I think I will read it. It's beautiful. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. She hath done what she could. Does that ring out as you read that? To me, as I read through those verses and thought about that, there's just so much in there. As I put it in, as you put that into practice in your life, allow God to stretch you beyond so his grace shines through you. I guess it's, as I thought of that verse, it's my goal to be able to look back in maybe the day, the week, the years, maybe a century from now, and no one say, I've done what I could. I just want to close with that. It's a maybe with that sentence, they're consoling words, but maybe also it's soul searching. This is Christ talking. He says, she hath done what she could. He saw the heart. Ask yourself that question. I'm going to turn the time over. We're going to have a song, and I'll ask Brother Harold to close. May the Lord bless you.